have a great show tonight. With me tonight is Pamela Samuels Young. She wears two hats. She is a managing counsel for labor and employment law at Toyota Motors. That is her day job. But at night, she is the author of 5 legal thrillers. I first had the pleasure of meeting Pamela back in 2005 when I had my very first networking reception in California. At the time, she had just finished a stint serving as a legal consultant on Showtime Soul Food and completed her first book, Every Reasonable Doubt. Fast forward, now she is on her 6th book, and she has won numerous awards for her writing. Her book titles include Firm Pursuit, Murder on the Down Low, Buying Time, Attorney-Client Privilege. She also has published 2 short stories, The Setup and Easy Money. Prior to Toyota, Pamela was in-house at Raytheon and was an associate at O'Melveny & Myers. She also spent several years as a television news writer and associate producer at KCBS-TV in L.A. and WXYZ-TV in Detroit before deciding to go to law school in her 30s. Pamela, thanks for being with us tonight.
Thank you for having me.
I have several questions for you, so let's start. When did you first get the spark in your mind that you wanted to write a book?
Several years after I finished law school, because even though I was a television news writer and a journalism major, I never thought about fiction writing. It just never crossed my mind. But I finished law school. I started reading a lot of legal thrillers, John Grisham, Sheldon Siegel, and others. And I'd always close the book, and I would say, there's nobody in this book who looks like me. There were no women lawyers. There were no African-American lawyers. There were no people of color. And for another couple of years, I probably thought, you know, I'd read them and close them and say, I should write a book. And then one day I just sat down and said, you know, I'm going to do this. And even though I was working as an associate at O'Melveny, I found the time, and I, without question, discovered my passion.
And what made you pick legal thrillers as your focus?
Because I was a new lawyer, I had this, you know, addiction to legal thrillers, and I had started reading them a lot, and they always say, write what you know. And here I was, this associate at a big law firm, and I felt like, wow, it'd be interesting to write about this, because, you know, I wasn't reading books that were talking about being in a big firm, and so that, you know, really came to be my first idea.
So here's the million-dollar question. How are you able to write and publish books while managing your very full caseload at Toyota?
Well, a lot of Starbucks with extra shots, a lot of caffeine. Because when I started writing, I was associate at O'Melveny at that time. So then it was even more stressful because I think being an in-house attorney, at least you have some control over your life. But back then, I would just get up at 4 o'clock in the morning. I would write for a couple hours before work. I traveled a lot. If I was in an airport, I'd get there early, write in the airport. I'd write on the plane. It was great to travel because when you finished your business meeting, you were in a hotel. You didn't know anybody in the town. I'd have the night to write. And it was really just using all the bit of free time that I find to get it done. And it took me about 3 years to finish that first novel. And here I am now. It's amazing to think about it that here I am now with about to publish my 5th book in July.
So on top of what you just said, I went on your website and I noticed that you have speaking engagements and book tours and book clubs. Are you physically exhausted? How do you deal with not getting to the point of burnout?
There are times that I am. And one, I try to take care of myself physically. I work out, and I recently went to the doctor and just got a whole physical assessment and got supplements and things like that. My faith and my meditation helps. But part of it, too, is that I love doing it. So it's not like it's a chore. You know, there's times like when I'm late at work on a case that, you know, I like practicing law, but I love writing. If I have to be at the office at 9 or 10 o'clock, I remember having a case last year where it was just sometimes it was very demanding. But when I'm up all night to write, it's not the same kind of exhaustion because I feel I enjoy it, so I love it. But I think having a passion, you just find the time to do it.
And I watched a clip of you on the Monique Show. I thought that was just fantastic. And it discusses how you met your husband. How do you balance your job, your book writing, and now your family and wifely duties?
You know, I wasn't married when I started writing. It does take some balance because, you know, you get sort of into it and you forget about family. Because when I was single, I would go away for the weekend, leave like a Thursday night, take Friday off, and I'd go to my timeshare in Palm Springs, and I'd stay in that timeshare and write all weekend. When I got married, my husband was at first like sort of looking at me kind of skeptically, like, sure, you're going to go away to write, you know. But now he's on board, he gets it, and he's very supportive. And my husband's pretty supportive, and so is my mother. She helped me with some things around the house. I have a virtual assistant. But there are times, like this week, I'm on vacation this week, and I didn't do anything. I'm not writing. I'm home. I'm resting. I'm working out. I went to a rowing class this morning. I'm going to a yoga class tomorrow. Because there's sometimes I just have to say, okay, you know what? I'm doing all this stuff, but like my husband reminds me sometimes when I'm really overdoing it, you know, either you need to slow down or, you know, I'm going to be spending your royalties when you're not here. So and this has been a great week of a relaxation for me. And sometimes you have to do that.
Now, some people have a team of people they can run their ideas by. Do you have such a group, or do you just come up with an idea, then execute on it and tell people about it when the product is here?
I have a writing group, and we got together about, well, this will be our 6-year anniversary. We meet once a month, and we critique each other's work. Usually one person, maybe two, will be submitting something, and it's only 4 of us. We started out with 12, and people fell off when they realized they'd have to produce some writing once a month. So I used to come up with an idea, because like right now I'm finishing up the book that will be out in July, and I'm starting to write a new book. So when I'm at our next meeting, I'll probably run by them my synopsis and begin to work on my outline for my next book. And they typically always see the first chapter that I write or the first part of it. And it's good to get their feedback and their critique because they'll tell you to go left or right. And, you know, it's really good to have a good, strong group of female writers. And 3 of us are lawyers. One of them is actually my boss, believe it or not. And it's been a real great support group to have them.
Well, that's good you have the support of your boss. You know, some people are afraid to branch out and do something in addition to their day job because they do not feel that their boss or their company will be supportive. What do you recommend the best course is in discussing the topic with one's supervisor or one's company if they're looking to do something outside of their day job?
I think you have to know who your company is and who you're working for. Because when I was with my prior company, I did not discuss very much about my writing because I didn't feel like I wasn't sure I'd get the support. And in this, I'm in an environment that is very supportive. But I also, you know, I don't come in talking about how tired I am because I was up writing all weekend. When I'm at work, I try to focus on work. I don't mix business and pleasure because, you know, when I was first getting published, I was running around the country doing all these book signings, and I'd come in and talk about how tired I was, and I realized people would, you know, but in a meeting with somebody said, oh, you're probably tired because you were out promoting all weekend. So I said, you know what? Got to remember, I'm not bringing up what I do on the weekends. I'm not bringing up my side business. And it is a business when I'm at work.
And you're not in the Xerox room printing up your book.
No, I'm not in the Xerox room printing up my books.
Well, many companies have a business conduct statement. Did you have to disclose your activities to your compliance team?
You know, it's funny because when I started writing, I was just thinking, I'm writing. And I didn't think of it as a business per se. The disclosure came about as a result of my inviting everybody in my department to a book signing that I was having at a local bookstore. And I didn't think about it. So I figured instead of just distinguishing between people, I'm just going to put a notice on everybody's desk. And I got a couple of people anonymously reported me to ethics for soliciting my book in the workplace. So as a result, I was investigated for that, believe it or not, and my disclosure came up.
I don't mean to laugh at this.
But, you know, people will be people. And so from then on, I made sure I don't invite anybody to anything. I have some close friends at work that we talk, but we talk about it away from work. I don't use the email to do it. So I learned a very valuable lesson. But, you know, they did determine it was not a conflict. They said, well, you know, if your notice hadn't had the price of the book on your little flyer, then that would have been okay. But, you know, so I wasn't really dinged for solicitation, but I was told that, you know, not to do it again, sort of. So I was shocked we have an anonymous complaint line, so that's a couple of people I understand reported me. So I'm like, okay, yeah.
To build upon that, you know, you talk about perception. So you're doing this, you're doing books in addition to your job, and I would think that some colleagues could perceive that you're not carrying your workload. Have you encountered any haters? And I guess the answer is yes. How did you deal with that? How did you manage the fact that people were reporting you on the line and perceiving you as not carrying your load? How did you move past that?
You know what? I just did. You know, there's nothing that I could do about it. I know who did it, not that I, you know, that's fine. I just, from that on, I'd make sure that I didn't discuss my book in the workplace, didn't bring any stuff to work about the book, and move forward. I mean, why waste time over it? So somebody's jealous about something. If they want to write a book, they could write a book, and they should call me, and I'll help them. Give them some ideas. But, you know, I moved on. There was no need wasting any time over that.
And what challenges have you faced in launching your dreams?
I think time is the biggest the biggest thing, because you can't do all things. Before this call, I was on the phone with my publicist trying to line up things that we're going to do, and I was just sort of felt overwhelmed with all the great plans that she has for me, thinking to myself, you know, how am I going to do it? She wants to do some radio interviews, but I don't want to do the radio interviews. I want to do try to work around them so I don't have to take time out of my day to try to do them. So I'm trying to, you know, schedule them at off time. So it is stressful, but you know what? I love doing this. I love walking into a bookstore and seeing my book on the store shelf. It's just so exciting. And I know how hard it is and how much work went into it.
And what's amazing, over the time that I've known you, I've seen you manage all of these multiple pieces of writing and self-publishing and providing creative content for your website and the book clubs. How did you develop these skills so that you could do all of these things? Did you take courses? Did you attend seminars? How did you?
A lot of it was trial and error, because when I first started writing my first book, I didn't take any courses, and I would advise anybody not to do that, to actually take some courses, because I didn't really understand story structure when I first started writing, and it took me a while to understand how to write a suspenseful novel. Study it, study your craft, and there's so many resources on the internet. We are so lucky. Whatever I want is at my fingertips.
And what do you say to people who they have these dreams, but they say, I don't have time. I just don't have time to move forward in the things I'm dreaming about. What would you say?
I totally disagree, because I found time where I least expected. I realized, you know, I was sitting at, you know, once a week, sitting 2-3 hours in a beauty shop. I would bring my laptop. I'd start writing there. If I, you know, had some downtime at work, I would take my laptop or just take a hard copy of my novel and I would write there. I would sit down at the beginning of the week and I would plan it. So Tuesday night, I would say 8 to 11, you're going to write. Or Saturday morning, you're going to get up early at 6 o'clock and you're going to write. I would urge everybody to sit down, look at their schedule for the coming week, and I don't believe that you cannot find 3 hours of giving up something. Maybe it's an hour of sleep. There's something that you can give up to squeeze that time in to begin to make the time to discover your passion or devote your time to your passion.
Many know that they want to do something in addition to the law. What are the top 3 tips for finding time to pursue your passion?
Well, I'd say get organized. Look at your life and say, where can I find more time? You know what? I would realize that I would get up in the morning, get dressed, and I'm looking over here for an earring. I'm looking over here for shoes that match, and I can't find something in the closet. I'll waste 20 minutes trying to find something. I hired a woman. She's called a clutterologist. She came in. She got my closets organized. She got my jewelry organized. She got everything organized. So I don't waste any more time in the morning. That's 20 minutes of sleep time that I could have had. So getting organized, planning ahead, and the other one is study your craft. You want to be the best at what you do and network and talk to people and join organizations. I'm a member of Mystery Writers of America. I'm a member of Sisters in Crime. And the final tip, you know, other than getting organized and studying your craft, is believe in yourself, because you got to have faith and the patience that it's going to happen. Because people think, oh, you know, I have 5 books, so I just sat down one day and I decided to write, now I have 5 books. No, I got lots of rejection letters when I was initially looking for publishers and before I got my first book deal. So it's going to take some time and some patience. So believe in yourself, believe in your dream.
Where do you get your ideas from, and how do you foster your own creativity?
My ideas come from everywhere. A case that I worked on was really the impetus for the first book that I started writing. And I was at a party when I met a guy who was a viatical broker, and that was the impetus for the book Buying Time. And right now, the book, when I wrap up the current book I'm working on, which is about a sex discrimination case, I'm going to be writing about human trafficking. I've just been reading so many articles about human trafficking that I finally decided that I wanted to tackle that subject. So in my free time, I'm reading books on human trafficking, listening to podcasts on human trafficking, and really trying to put myself into that world and write a story about human trafficking. And, you know, believe it or not, I like to get away from the house to write, but one of my favorite places to write are Starbucks and Panera Bread. I find myself a corner, and I go in the back there, and I can just zone everyone out. I have other writer friends who say there's no way they could write in a busy place. But for me, I like that, find my little table, and I can go for 4 or 5 hours.
If you have a question for Pam, press 1 on your phone and we will get to you momentarily. Pam, what else would you like to accomplish in your life and in your career?
You know, I frankly want to be a New York Times best-selling author. That's my goal. Before I hang up my book shingle or when I'm done, I want to hit nail that. And frankly, in the long run, I'd love to just write and teach. I was teaching business law and ethics for a while, and I quit. Believe me, I was writing and working and teaching as well. And finally gave that up because it was just too much to try to even squeeze that in, to teach that kind of class a couple nights a week. But I like teaching. I like meeting students and encouraging them. So I'd love to just write and teach full-time eventually.
Okay, I think we have a question.
I was just wondering, you know, with the haters, I'm calling from Atlanta, Georgia. I'm just wondering, when you encountered the haters, as we said, how did you motivate yourself? Did it hurt, you know, was it a hurtful situation because some of those were people who that were close? How did you remain motivated?
Yeah, I'm the kind of person, I don't let people stop me. You know what? They filed that report. I had to answer some questions from our internal audit group, and I went for it. I did not look back. You know how hard I've worked so hard to get here. I'm not gonna let somebody's jealous because I wrote a book. No, I didn't. That is like a little ant. I did not waste any time on that. I'm moving. I move forward. Now that was after my first book. I have five. I'm about to release my fifth book. I did not let that stop me, and I urge you not to. You're gonna find that all over. And I have some very. I had a really close friend who never came to one of my book signings, and I could not believe it because this is my homegirl. And people have. You're gonna find out who your real friends are, who's gonna be there supporting you and encouraging you, and it is what it is. I do not waste time worrying about that.
We have another question.
Hi, how are you? I joined the call a little late. I'm calling from New Jersey. What was the amount of time it took between writing your first book and having it published?
Yeah, it took me 3 years to finish the first book. And I would come home at night and write. I'd write early in the morning, finish that first book. And I didn't sell that first book because my first book pretty much sucked, and I didn't really realize that. When I finished my first book, I had not taken a writing course. I did not understand how story structure works. And I was giving my book to all my friends to read, and nobody would, like, tell me anything because they didn't want to hurt my feelings. And finally, a partner at one of my law firms at O'Melveny said, you know, I'll read it, and I'll give you some feedback. And by that time, I had started working on the second book, and she read the second book, the 50 pages of the second book, and she said, you know, your first book, it's okay, but your second book, that's a page turner, finish that one. So I put that first book that I wrote, I put it on the shelf. I started working on the second one, finished it in a year, got that sold in about 6 months, got a two-book deal, ended up going back and rewriting that first book. I found out later that a lot of writers, they don't end up selling their first book because you really kind of don't know what you're doing. But I was determined to become a published author. So, and when people didn't like that first book, and I understand now why they didn't like that first book. I was trying to be Toni Morrison and describing how the shadow hit the wall for three paragraphs. I read legal thrillers. You need to hit it fast and move forward. So I understood that by the time I wrote the second book. But that first book that I wrote, I actually went back and rewrote, and it was a part of my two-book deal. You got to keep going no matter what. I faced a lot of rejection in the beginning, and, you know, and what kept me going? I read that John Grisham got 45 rejection letters, and people told him, and it's true, people told him nobody wants to read about lawyers. And he self-published his first book, A Time to Kill, back when nobody was self-publishing because he had to, because people wouldn't publish. And look at him now. So you cannot let the rejection get to you.
We have another question.
Hi, Ms. Samuels. Thank you so much for your presentation today. It's absolutely inspiring, and we really appreciate it. Could you talk a little bit about the editing process once you have your book deal with an editor or publisher and how you're able to fit your communications in with them? Do you just work from home on that? And also, if you could describe that editing process a little bit. Thank you.
So I write the book, and for me, I give it to my writer's group, get their feedback. Then I revise it some more. Then I send it to my editor. Once my editor looks at it, she gives me what's called an editorial letter, and she's asking me to make certain changes. For me, they weren't a lot of changes, and I think there weren't a lot because I had shopped it with my friends before that. They helped me catch a lot of things. The book that I just finished, I just got some feedback from several friends, and this time around, I actually had some book clubs read it. I invited them to my house for the weekend. I did three separate book clubs, three separate nights, and it was so cool to listen to them describe my characters as if they're real people and really kind of critique the book and really dig deep. So because I go through that process before my editor ever saw the book, it's in pretty good shape.
Pam, there are people who have maybe 100 things that they want to accomplish, 100 dreams, 100 visions. Do you have any recommendations on what dreams to focus on?
No, and I got to say, I have a friend like that because she has 20 great ideas, and this month is one idea, next month it's the next idea, and she I love her to death, but she hasn't accomplished any of them. For me, and you got to figure out what works for you. For me, it has to be one idea at a time. This book about human trafficking has been rolling in my head for about 6 months, but I have not sat down to even write a word because I want to finish, get this first book off my plate before I even finish it. So I'm pretty focused. I don't move forward with anything else until I finish the book completely. And right now the book is with my copy editor. I'll get it back in a couple of weeks. I like to focus on one thing. I sit down. I allow myself a lot of think time. And my think time is usually my commute home. I have a 45-minute commute home in the car where I outline things in my head. I think about story ideas. And I even bought that software Dragon, and I actually dictated in the car because it's great voice recognition software. So don't believe the hype that you can't find the time. I'm in traffic an hour, 45 minutes, hour, one way, every single day. So that's what? That's 2 hours a day. That's 10 hours a week right there of time that I'm devoting to my passion, whether I'm dictating something in the car, dictating ideas, or just thinking about it. So you can find the time.
Who inspires you? Who is your role model?
My faith, God, my role model. But in the entertainment industry, you know who my role model is? My role model is Tyler Perry. Because for years, people laughed at his little plays and said he couldn't do this. And look at him today with his own studio. And there's a quote that I took from him that's on my website. Don't wait for somebody to green light your project. Create your own intersections. And that I have that up on my website because don't wait. Do your own. Don't be afraid. Do your own thing. And I think his story and his struggle and where he is now is so inspiring to me. So that would be one of the people, many people who inspires me.
Pamela, you have been such an inspiration this evening. Before we close out, can you leave us with a one-minute takeaway from all of your experiences and lessons learned?
If you asked me what my best trait was, I would say my ability to get back up after a fall. I know a lot of people who fall down and they stay down and they whine. I fall down, I whine a little bit, and then I get back up and I keep going. And I think that, particularly in a field like publishing, where rejection is so much a part of it, I think it's important to persevere and go for it and shoot for your dream. And my favorite quote comes from a First Lady, Eleanor Roosevelt, and it goes like this: a woman is like a tea bag. You never know how strong she is until you put her in hot water. And I got to say, that is me, because I'm at my best when the chips are down. And I love writing. It's my passion. And, hey, that's why I have 5 books a day while managing a legal career.
Well, hats off to you, Pamela, and we know that the best is yet to come for you. Thank you for taking time out of your vacation to spend with us for 30 minutes. We'll let you get back to resting on the beach and coming up with the next book. Everyone who tuned in tonight, thank you so much for joining us on our popular internet show. Have a good evening and have a safe Memorial Weekend coming up next week. Thank you.